Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's a privilege to be here tonight.
Yes, it is.
It's a privilege to have you here.
Amen.
With us tonight. If we stop the service right at this very point in time, it will have been the perfect service.
Okay?
What more could you ask? I've been tipped off that this young man was interested in coming. And I know that no words of man can convince someone to do a life-changing thing. That has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. And he proved that tonight by saying the Holy Spirit had been working with him. He had already prayed to receive the forgiveness of sins. And he came in public display tonight to ask for and get the blessing of sanctification. The perfect service. The way I was prepared for this message this week was in the furnace of affliction. I've been in the furnace this week. I'm still hot from the furnace. In case you didn't catch it, life is really not a cakewalk. One, two, three, that everything is fine. Okay. Jesus told his disciples, what we can expect in the world is tribulation.
That's right.
What the scripture says. And he said, don't worry about it, because I have overcome the world. And that is the key to overcoming. It's the key to being happy. It's the key to being successful. It's the key to staying sanctified.
Amen. Yes, it is.
And that is to keep your eyes, we've heard already, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
What you are going to do when you come and give your heart and life to the Lord is the impossible. Everybody in the world will tell you that. You're going to do the impossible. Let me tell you what, we serve a God who specializes in impossibilities. Okay, he specializes in it. Now, he told his people one time, I want you to go in this particular direction, and the waters are going to open up, but they ain't going to open up till you get your feet wet. You put your feet in them, okay? And then everything will be fine. One time he did it before they even got there, okay? Open the waters right on up. But when they went into the land and they went in to conquer the land, the very next thing that happened is they took perhaps the most fortified city.
Yes, they did.
Right.
Without loosing an arrow.
Right.
Or a spear. They did it totally by praise.
Amen.
And what they did is they followed exactly what God had laid out for them. That's another key to getting sanctified and being sanctified and staying sanctified. And it is the central theme of this book, and that is obedience to God. Okay. New Testament, Old Testament.
Right.
Obedience to God. I'm going to read some in the 5th chapter of Joshua. And it's in the middle of an interesting set of circumstances here, but I want to get into this particular verse. It's the 6th verse of the 5th chapter. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed. Why is that? Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not shew them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. They had an opportunity to go over, and they couldn't trust God. Two men could. And they lived through the wilderness, did they not? And one of them became the leader of the whole group and led God's people on forward, because those two guys were sure they could do it. We got God on our side and we can do it. Now let me tell you what, the devil and the world around you are going to say you can't do it.
Right, right.
But you can do it.
Right.
Because we're not listening to the devil, and we're not listening to the world around us. We're listening to God's word. And here's one of the secrets of staying sanctified is immersing yourself right here. Don't let anything take its place. Don't let anything steal time from your read and study of God's word. It is his living word. It is the bread of life. It feeds you. It tells us you want to find out what the word of God will do for you. Just read the 119th Psalm. Just read that. Okay, just read that. Every single verse in the longest chapter in the Bible talks about God's word. And it calls it all different kinds of names in there. But one verse says, it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path.
Amen.
And you can't go, we're not expected to go in darkness. We have the light of life. Okay? And we can follow that. A land that floweth with milk and honey. It seems like that we all want to be successful in life as far as stuff goes. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Now, remember tribulation now. Remember tribulation. I don't know of very many people who can tell me that it's real easy in the world, that it's easy to make a living, or that it's easy to do the right thing. There's a reason for that. Sanctified folks, we are not to get comfortable with the surroundings around here. Okay? We get a little too comfortable with what's going on around here. We may not be so interested in what's coming up. Okay? Don't ever get so attached to what this world has got or the pursuits of it. Don't ever get too attached to this. The 11th chapter of Hebrews tells us about a group of folks in the Old Testament who confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims because they were looking for a city. They were looking for a place that they couldn't find here. But let me tell you what we are. We're ambassadors. We sang that song. We're ambassadors. We are on a journey. We are just a passing through. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Don't let this stuff, don't get too rocked up, too caught up in wanting to look just right or be just right or have all the right stuff. None of that has anything to do with the relationship of your soul to God, which is the most important thing in your life. Your relationship with him. A land that floweth with milk and honey. I just recently discovered English muffins and hot butter with honey on top of it and a cold glass of milk. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, that's some account right there. It's good. Now, all I have to do to get honey is get in the car or walk or whatever, make my way to the store, and honey is there in a little jar. I can get it in different flavors, different size jars, whatever, and I can have my honey. Milk the same way. If I want milk, I just go on to the grocery store and walk right on back there to the milk carton. I got a bunch of them. I got 1%, 2%. You know, I mean, I got a whole array of milk that I can choose from, and I can get it walk right on out. So milk and honey, it seems like a fairly simple thing to do. All right, now, there was a time in my life, I'm old enough for this, there was a time in my life that when I wanted a glass of milk, I had to go get it, but it was a little different process. Okay? It was a little different. We had a cow.
A little more work.
Okay? Right. A lot more work. And it was an event. Okay? Contrary to popular belief, cows just don't give you milk. Okay? Cows had to be convinced to give you milk. Okay? They had to be trained to do that. And here's another thing. If they don't want you to have it, no matter how much they've been trained, you ain't going to get it. Okay? So the same thing with honey. Now, if we didn't have grocery stores, and they didn't have grocery stores here, when they were told a land of milk and honey, it was not a land of Publix. It was not the land of Kroger.
Right.
It was the land that God was going to provide, and you were going to have to do some work to get it. You don't just get sanctified and just sail right on with not a ripple on the water right on until you die and have everything you ever desired. I'm sorry. That's not the way it's going to work. You're going to have to work at it. There are things that we are required to do. Okay? And we better be busy about doing it, or the devil will steal our joy. He will kill and he will destroy. That's his business, and he is very good at it. Sanctified folks alike. He is very, very good at it. He loves it.
Amen.
He's a pro. He was designed to do it. He hates your guts.
Yes, he does.
He wants to see nothing but destruction for you.
Right.
He's got nothing but heartache and misery for you.
Right.
Now, he can dress it up.
He
can dress up death and make it look beautiful. Beautiful. But you better be right here. Reading and digging right in this right here. Read and dig. Read and dig. But there's something to do on our part. Now, I'm not going to read other scripture that I had lined up with this, because after they went on into the land, and Joshua told them at the end of his life, and we heard it tonight. We heard it tonight. Our newly sanctified brother read it for us. That's for me and my house. He said, now you can serve the God that brought you here, or you can serve the Amorites of the people that you are living around. Don't let the world rub off on you, folks. Don't let the world rub off on you. And it will. Guess what you need to clean it off? You need this. Daily doses of this. Okay? To keep it cleansed. To keep it cleaned out. So, they got into the land, and they were conquering. You know what I mean? They did Jericho. And then when it come time to divide the land, they still were told to deal with the inhabitants of the land. Okay? Don't invite them to leave. You deal with them. Because they don't want to leave. They feel like this is theirs.
That's true.
It belongs to God, and God just give it to you. But they don't know that. Okay? They've been too busy serving gods, other gods, idol worship, a burning, offering their children in the fire. You read in the Old Testament about their children passing through the fire of Moloch. They were sacrificing their children, burning them on an altar to these gods. What a terrible thing. What a terrible thing.
Amen.
And yet, as we read through the biblical account, how the children of Israel would do good in all the kings. You know, we got a good king, we got a bad king. We got a bad king and a worse king and a worse king. Then we got a good king. Then we got a bad king and a worse king and a worser yet king, you know. And then we got a king that's worse than all the rest of them. Then we got a good king and a bad king. Why all that time? Why did God's people go back to idol worship? Why did they do that? Why did they do that? Because when they went in the land and they were told to deal with it, they didn't deal with it.
Exactly right.
They did not deal with it.
That's right. They were commanded. Right. It wasn't an option.
And it got, well, we won't deal with them because they're in the mountain and we're in the valley. Okay? Or we're not going to deal with them because we're on the mountain and they're in the valley. Or, well, you know, it's better to put them to tribute. Let's make money off of them.
Right.
Let's make some money off of them, you know. Let's do that. Well, what happened was the angel then told them, God's not going to do this. You didn't do it. And so God's not going to do it. Why did they go back? Because they had left people in the land around them that were doing that, and it rubbed off of them.
That's right.
How in the world could it do that?
Yeah.
Because they let it happen. They let it happen. Let me tell you what. Sanctified people, young sanctified people, deal with your land right off.
Yeah, right.
Right off.
That's right.
Terminate those bad associations.
Yeah. Right.
Terminate them.
Yeah.
Terminate them. They tell you in AA, do away with your old playground and your old playmates. Good advice. Good advice. Do away with that kind of stuff because it can rub off on you. What you want to do is do like the Apostle Peter did. He saw Jesus walking on the water. And what did he do? He did the impossible. What do you know? He did the impossible. He got right on that there, walked right on across that water right to Jesus. You can do the impossible.
Right.
Living holy, folks will tell you it's impossible. It's true. But let me tell you what, you keep your eyes on Jesus and you can live it every day.
That's right.
You can live it every day.
Every day.
But it takes work on your part. It takes read and study in the Word. Now, one of the first things the devil wants to steal from you is your joy.
That's exactly right.
And he will throw things at you that maybe you haven't seen before or come at you from a little different angle to dampen your spirit, to weaken your resolve, to keep you from going to the right kind of place, to keep you from reading your Bible, to keep you from praying. He's big on doing that. Well, the problem is that once you start doing that, you know, something else comes up, and something else comes up, and by, you're reading two verses before you fall asleep, and you're asleep after you read the first one.
How about it?
That's not reading and studying God's Word, by the way.
Right.
Not praying either. It's fine to pray, and it's good to pray.
Yes, it is.
But don't give God the dregs of your time.
Right.
Set aside time and give Him the best. Okay, if you want to stay sanctified and do good, you give God the very best thing. The joy of the Lord, the Scripture tells us, is what?
Right.
It's your strength.
Yes, it is.
It's strength. So he wants to rob your joy. Now, something else that he wants to do is he wants to get into your mind.
Yeah.
The enemy's big with mind games.
Yeah.
And you start entertaining some of the junk that he's got. And you can get that by seeing junk. You can get that by hearing junk.
Right.
You know, garbage in, garbage out.
Right.
Young people and sanctified people, old and young alike, you need to be careful what you listen to.
Amen.
You need to be careful what comes into your life.
Right.
You need to be careful what you see and what you read. It's very important if you are going to live a victorious life.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
I don't want to live poorly spiritually. I don't want to do that. I don't want to struggle from day to day, you know,
barely
and say what a dredge it is, you know, what a trudge it is. It's not that way. It's not that way. It's victory.
Amen.
Now, we got tribulation. But we got the one inside, hallelujah, praise the Lord,
yes.
That can and will and does give us the victory.
Amen.
Each
Amen.
And every time, day after day, week after week,
yes.
Month after month, year after year. And when those important decisions come in your life, I've been sanctified as a young person, and I know what peer pressure is about. I know about being a teenager. And I know about wanting to hang with the right crowd.
Yeah.
I know about acceptance and wanting to be in the car with the right people.
Yeah.
Go to the right places. But let me tell you what. Even as sanctified people, choose your friends carefully.
Right.
You need to surround yourself with people that are going to build you up.
Yes.
You need to surround yourself with people that are going to hold you up in prayer. You need to surround yourself with people that are going to be a benefit to your spiritual man.
Right.
And if you surround yourself with anything else, it will bring you heartache.
Yes.
Choose your friends carefully. Choose your friends carefully. Now, the thought life part of it, it's just a beautiful thing. This chapter, I would like to read this whole 26th chapter of Acts. But I'm trimming things down. I'm trimming things down a little bit. But this is about Paul and his audience before Festus and Agrippa. They were two very influential guys. But they were cheap. You hear me? They lived cheap lives.
Yeah.
The things that were around them impressed them. They were apple shiners. I'll use a nice term. Apple shiner. Brother Doris used to say, polishing the general's boots.
Yeah.
Okay? These guys are big into that. And they were big into bragging on each other for their own personal gain. Okay. That's the kind of thing you find out in the world.
That's right.
Okay? That's the kind of thing you find out in the world. They were rich. They were powerful. They were influential. They were morons. Okay? They were spiritual morons. Okay? They get the Apostle Paul. And Festus, he's clueless. What he's interested in doing is not making so much of a ruckus so that Rome will hear about it and he'll get in trouble. Okay? So he's kind of putting it off. He knows that the Apostle Paul has done nothing to be punished with, but he's got to do the right thing to make himself look good. Okay? He's got to do the right thing to make himself look good. Okay? So then Agrippa comes to town. Now we got two apple shiners here, you know, and they're shining each other's apples, and they're wanting to impress each other, and so they call a meeting, and they bring the man of God right out there in front of them. Now this man has been in prison. I think he's been in lockup now with no charges for about 3 years plus. About 3 years. Okay. If you're locked up in prison for 3 years, not knowing how you would ever get out, how would that make you feel? Even as a sanctified person, it'd be tough, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Let me tell you something. There's a boy that's a child of sanctified folks that's in prison not far from here. He's doing a 15-year stretch.
That's right.
Because the devil cheated him. And now the devil is going to take his youth. He's taken his youth.
That's right. Robert.
But when he gets up, out,
yeah,
he will have lost all that time.
That's right.
There is a ministry for us everywhere we look. Don't tell me, oh, what can we do? What can we do?
Right.
We have a world of opportunity around us. We got hurting people all over the place. The folks behind you and the folks in front of you in the grocery store line have got problems they don't know what to do with, and they need the answer, and we got it.
Yes.
We've got it.
It's
important for us to be busy. So they bring this man of God in and ask him to speak for himself. Festus says, Agrippa, you know, I don't want to send him to Rome with no letter. Basically what he said was, but I don't know what this is all about. I'm clueless, and I'm going to look stupid if I send him without a letter. I want you to talk to a man so we can come up with something to write in a letter to send him when he goes wherever he's going from here. Agrippa has a little more knowledge of what's going on. He knows about Jewish custom and law. And he's polished a few apples his own self with the Jewish community, okay, by helping them out. He stopped Rome from putting an image of Caesar in the temple, and they all were all very appreciative about that, you know. And he was keeping the peace. Okay, so Agrippa then says to Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Here you have an opportunity to speak. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. He says, I think myself happy. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Do you know that's possible to think yourself happy? Huh? Now we've heard a little bit about David encouraging himself in the Lord when everything seemed to be going wrong in his life, and he turned right onto the Lord and encouraged him. This is the Apostle Paul. I think myself happy. I think it's time for us to learn to think ourselves happy.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
We stay in the world long enough and we get gloom and doom and What in the world is going on? You know, hey, it's the devil's business. What I tell you, it's the devil's business to steal your joy. He'll do that. He loves to do that. If he can, he will. Did he steal Paul's joy after 3 years in prison? He says, I thank myself happy.
Right.
I'm a happy man.
There you go.
I don't own a home. I don't know where my family is. I don't know what my future holds. My future is in the hands of you two guys.
Right.
Can I be happy? Yes, sir, I can be happy. I think myself happy.
Amen.
I'm going to think, and he, evidently he had been thinking himself happy.
Yeah.
Now, what can you do? I'm scared if I read the rest of this, you'll lose that. I want you to keep that. Think yourself happy.
You better guard your thoughts.
What's going on in here is very important. Now, what the Apostle Paul, the rest of this chapter will give you a little insight as to what was going on in his mind. Do you want to think yourself happy? I want you to think about what God has done for you right here.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay? If you're depressed and everything is weighing you down, think about what God has done for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, that's right. Yesterday, when I came to the camp, well, this morning when I got up this morning, I got filthy dirty cutting grass, man. I cut grass. I was sweaty. I had grass on me, and you know, I was just terrible. I thank God that I had the strength to get dirty, and then I came in and had a place to get all cleaned up, and I felt I was blessed because I had a way to clean up, and I could clean myself up. Do we have something to be thankful for?
Yes.
We got plenty to be thankful for.
Amen.
God has done so much for us. He has done so much for us.
Amen.
But how soon we forget, or how soon we let the devil push it back in our minds.
Right.
Push it back in our mind.
Amen.
When the Lord told them to take the land and they had seen everything that God could do for them, they had seen all of the miracles, they'd seen everything, but yet they backed off.
Yeah, right.
Folks, it ain't time to back off of nothing.
Right.
We need to stand firm for God, and we need to keep moving forward, and we need to think ourselves happy, because whether you know it or not, you are.
Right.
Well, how about that? How about that? I'm happy. How about that? Well, financially, things are pretty bad. I've taken a hit. Well, pretty much everybody has. You know? Now, can you think yourself happy through that?
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Amen.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can look around at objects around you and be happy for that. But what we can be happy for is that we have the peace and joy of God on the inside. We have the Savior of the world. We have the influence and the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, and with that, we can be happy.
Amen.
That's right, man.
Even if we're in prison, we can be happy.
Amen.
Even if we suffered financial loss, we can be happy. Even if we have a death in the family, we can be happy.
Yes.
Even if our loved ones choose to go the other way, we can still be happy.
Yeah. Yes.
We can still be happy. What good is it going to do to lose your joy?
Right.
Amen.
What good does it do? It don't do nobody any good. But the devil, he loves it. He loves it. Now, this is one of my very favorite passages of Scripture. And it's in the 4th chapter of Philippians. This is a good one to commit to memory. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let's be happy. Let's be happy, okay? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Now that doesn't mean be careless. That means quit worrying. Okay? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's where we need to go.
Amen.
To God. Okay. We go to Him, He's got the answer. And the peace of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds.
Right.
And minds. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So it's in thinking about Him and what He has done for us and what He can do for others that we can find our joy. And back in the 26th chapter of Acts, the Apostle Paul was telling them how he got to where he was. He said, I was a Pharisee, man, I kept it all. I was the perfect Pharisee. But then on the way to Damascus, he saw a light. He saw the light. Okay, can we see the light? He saw the light. And he asked, who in the world is this? And the answer was, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know what that means? That means when he was holding them clothes, when Stephen was being stoned, there was something in here that said, that's not exactly right. And when he was persecuting those Christians, there was something in here when he saw them die and keep and hold on to their faith. There was something that pricked him in here. Pricked him in here. His conscience, God, it was working with him all the whole time. And he says, it's time to make a change. Hallelujah. It's time for you to make a change. I believe when he was telling that, he got happy. I believe he got happy. So happy. The man says, man, you're mad. So much knowledge has made you mad. You've lost your mind. And there may be people around you when they see you rejoicing and praising God through all of the junk that happens, they'll say they've lost their mind. Hallelujah, I have lost my mind. I have given to the Lord, and He's in here, and He's who I'm going to think about, and He's who I'm going to praise, and He's who I'm going to meditate on. All the rest of this stuff is going to go away.
Amen.
It's all temporary. Hey, even this. This is temporary.
Yes, it is.
We think an awful lot of it.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yes, we do.
But do you know, legally? Some of you heard me say this. Legally, when you die, your body becomes the property of your nearest relative. That's right. Just like an object. It becomes an object that legally belongs to somebody else when the Spirit leads it. We're borrowing this. It's on loan. It's on loan. Because we're just passing through. Let's say it again. We're just passing through. This is all temporary. But we have got a hold of what can carry us on through the temporary. What can carry us to a home in heaven. And we can be happy going there no matter what happens in life and the world around us. We can still be happy. Through Jesus Christ, finally, brethren. Now, there's a lot of whatsoever's in here. This may be a tough one to memorize, but just get the key words. True, honest, and just pure love.
Yeah, there you go.
Whatever is true and whatever is honest and whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is of a good report.
That's right.
Now, if we took our thought life and put it through that screen, I think pretty much this would be the only thing left.
That's right.
Wouldn't it? Whatsoever things are true. The devil would love to have you think about a lie.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And entertain something that was not true. Whatsoever things are honest. How often have we spent our time fretting and worrying and fussing over something that was dishonest or unjust? These are things we're going to find in the world. These are things that are all around us. These are things that we can grab up and hold on to and let them make us sour Christians and steal our joy if we want to. But whatever is pure, hallelujah, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report. Don't tell me no bad news. Don't tell me no bad news. Call me with the good news. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear how nobody's suffering except when I can pray for them. I want to hear Kevin come to the altar and he was already forgiven and he got sanctified.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. He shouted his testimony for it. Now that's good news.
Yeah.
That's what I want to think about. I want to keep that in my mind when I go to my job, when I go through this coming week, when I step back into that I want to think about the good that I have heard here and felt here and seen here and enjoyed here and still can feel it and have it right in here.
Yeah.
The devil can't take that away. Now, he can talk you into giving it away.
Yeah. Right.
He loves that. He can talk you into giving it away. I don't want to give the devil not an ounce. Do y'all? It just don't make no sense to do that. What we want to do is we want to go forward for the Lord. We want to think about the things that are good. We want to have a successful, Christian, sanctified, holy life.
Amen.
And experience.
Amen.
And there's a lot of other things, a lot of other things that go into being sanctified and staying sanctified. Those are some key highlights. There's more here.
Yes, there is.
You want more?
All that we need.
Oh, man. Everything you need is right here.
Everything we need.
Right. And the more you read it, the more you'll want to read it. Believe
me. That's right.
Believe me.
That's right.
The more you read it, the more you're going to want to read it. There's so much. There's so much in here. So much. I don't have to decide what to do. I have to decide when to shut up. There's so much stuff in here. How long have I been reading the Bible? A long time. And I can't find nothing to talk about? No, I have to find something to shut up about.
Amen.
I have to find the quitting place.
Right.
I have to find the quitting place. The Holy Spirit has been in this place.
Hey, yes, it is.
Right.
The Holy Spirit
still here.
Is here.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
It has visited the hearts and minds, I believe, of everybody in this building.
Yeah.
Now, it has blessed some. We're praying that it has pricked some.
Amen.
Pricked some. Is it time for you to make a change?
Amen.
Let me tell you what.
More help tonight.
Life is going to be hard whether you sanctified or not.
That's right.
So why go through it without God?
Right.
It just doesn't make much sense, does it?
No, it don't.
Let's go with somebody that can take us through.
Amen.
Let's go with somebody that can give us encouragement. Let's go through somebody that can give us the power and the joy.
Amen.
The joy. Another way to be happy. Noah would be happy. The fifth chapter of Matthew. The fifth chapter, man, that is Jesus' first sermon.
Yes, it is.
Maybe his most important. When it says, blessed are, that means happy are.
Yeah.
Okay? Blessed are means happy. Go home and read that.
Yep.
Read that. That'll make you happy too.
Yes, it will.
But we want now to let the Holy Spirit have His way. We've had an altar service.
Yes, we have.
Oh, we're not limited in number of altar services, are we?
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit said, we should have two or three more before this night is out. Whatever the Holy Spirit calls for. And if He is knocking at your heart tonight, if He's knocking at your heart, let's say yes to God and no to the devil. It's time to give your life to the Lord.
Amen.
While we stand and sing a song of invitation, let's come up for family prayer.
Yes.